Where were you third week in April 1970? It's been 25 years since the first Earth Day. Tomorrow, lots of people around the world will gather at a variety of events to commemorate, celebrate, and make new commitments for the next 25 years. A lot has changed since 1970. Business has become more green. Many cities have cleaner air and water, thanks to the tough response of government. But there's a lot left to do. Major car companies are trying to find alternatives to the internal, some call it the infernal, combustion engine. And that search for alternatives to gasoline-powered cars is the subject of this Marketplace special, Hydrogen Beyond the Boom. It's produced by Alan Weissman and by correspondent Chris Brooks.
Some say it's a legend. Others say it really happened. Right here at number 49 Hufsbaden Street in the village of Staufen, Germany. The ancient building with the medieval inscription on the wall. Perhaps there was a black cat on the step then, too, when it happened. A long time ago, at midnight. It's old German, yeah?
Yes, very old. It's...
Can you give us even a rough translation?
In Staufen, Doctor... Was heißt der? Faustus?
Neuen.
Faustus?
Hey. Faustus, yeah.
Such a... Here it said, in 1539, a doctor from Staufen, from here, gave his soul, you see? Ewige Verdammnis überantwortet, he gave his pure soul to the devil, you could say.
This is a very famous story.
Yes, yes.
This is an opera as well, yeah?
Yes, sure. It's an opera. It's Faust. It's called Faust.
And it's about a man who sold his soul to the devil in return for power.
In return, the devil gave him power for a period of time. And after this period, he has to return his soul to the devil because the devil wants something in return for the power.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Alles klar.
Good night.
Yes, night. Good night. Ciao.
Faust. Who sold his soul to the devil in return for power. It seemed like such a cheap deal, but the price turned out to be high when the debt came due. For the past century, you have to wonder, maybe we've sold our soul to a different devil. Fossil fuels, internal combustion engines, automobiles. That seemed like a cheap deal too. But today, just like the story, the devil has come for his due.
Mike Nolan, KFI on the ground. Michael!
Hey, good morning, Bill. Quickly, again, still closed. Pacific Coast Highway, northbound, south between Chautauqua. Also very heavy traffic as you work your way on the...
Hi, I'm Camille. What city?
Los Angeles.
Okay.
A listing for the Los Angeles Opera.
Attention, Ford, Honda, Oldsmobile, and Toyota owners. How would you like to get your next oil and filter change at a full-service, factory-authorized dealer?
You're in love with this New Yorker. Am I right about this?
This is my first luxury car.
Go for it. This 2.5 motor will last forever.
Los Angeles, the city that's crazy about the automobile. Freeways, freedom, sex appeal, American dream. Step on the gas, hit the road, feel that power. Gas goes in the tank, fumes come out the tailpipe. Who cares?
Good afternoon, LA Opera.
Hi, can you tell me what opera you're playing right now, please?
Faust. There's a performance on the 4th, one on the 7th.
Dowling a car fire in La Mirada, we go live to KFI's Jay Lawrence.
Suzanne, the burning car was in the parking lot of the...
In Los Angeles, the Faustian bargain we made for cheap power, for the modern miracle of the automobile, has come due. It's about all those emissions spewing out of 9 million tailpipes in the Los Angeles basin. Mike Nolan flies traffic for LA radio station KFI. Every day, he strains to see those cars through the murk that pours out of them.
Well, my working altitude as I fly the traffic in the Southern California basin is only about 2,000 feet. my visibility, looking straight down, is considerably restricted by the pollutants. It is not at all uncommon for a very clear, crystal clear Monday morning at 6 o'clock to become a very smoggy Monday morning by 8 o'clock in the morning. We can see that kind of a pattern where between 6 and 8 o'clock in the morning, just the number of cars on the road will actually increase the pollutant levels to a point where the mountains, for example, are partially obscured, and the visibility becomes extremely difficult. During those kinds of days, I can literally look straight down to see the traffic, and that's it.
And it's more than just a matter of visibility. According to one study, air pollution in Southern California causes 1,600 premature deaths and costs over $9 billion in health problems every year. So to try and clean up the mess, new California legislation requires that by 1998, 2% of all vehicles sold in the state must have zero emissions coming out the tailpipe. By 2003, it'll be 10%. That's 100,000 vehicles. And it's those emission regulations that are driving the search for a pollution-free automobile. But if you want to find the car that may save California, don't bother asking the big three. Ask the people who invented the car in the first place. No, it wasn't Henry Ford in Detroit. It was the Germans in Stuttgart. This is the Novalee Bühne Theater in Stuttgart. And wouldn't you know it, they're performing Faust II. It's the hell scene, and you can hardly see the actors for the smog pouring from the smoke machine in the Devil's Cauldron. The actor playing Faust leans against the side of the stage looking sick. He's probably thinking of his next line. But if L.A. traffic reporter Mike Nolan was playing this part and peering through this smog, he might just be thinking it's all the fault of two guys named Gustav Daimler and Carl Benz, who unveiled the world's first gasoline-powered automobile just across town in 1886. Believe it or not, it still starts, that first car, at the museum of the Stuttgart car manufacturer Daimler-Benz. By the way, that's Benz as in Mercedes.
Would you like to rear steering? The steering?
Sure.
Okay.
It's built like a horse carriage, with a single-cylinder engine and a handlebar instead of a steering wheel.
This is the first automobile.
The first automobile.
This is it.
By Carl Benz, yes.
In 1886, this was a transportation miracle. But nowadays at Daimler-Benz, they know the days of the gasoline-powered car are numbered. Dr. Helmut Buchner is a physicist working in the Daimler-Benz research division. He knows emission standards are changing, both in the U.S. and in Europe, and he's looking for solutions. One solution could be an electric car, but...
But, of course, we have just the same opinion as any other U.S. car manufacturer, saying an electric drivetrain is a battery on wheels with quite a lot of problems. Of course, an electric drivetrain, you see that the conventional electrified train, that's a fantastic engine with 80% efficiency. No problem, but to carry electricity with you, you still need tons of batteries to replace a 50-kilogram tank of gasoline.
In other words, electric motors work just fine for German streetcars like this one. The sidewalk musicians here can tootle at the tourists without fear of getting a face full of fumes whenever old number 9 passes by. But who wants a zero-emission electric car that has to run on tracks and overhead wires?
And under these existing circumstances, to implement now a zero-emission solution is a not easy task. Look at California. That's the problem. If such regulations are there to be met? Okay, then we can say either the car industry has to go electric or they can eventually go hydrogen.
Go hydrogen? Well, if you drive down the Autobahn to Munich, you'll find that Mercedes-Benz's competitor, the BMW company, has done just that.
Let's start the engine.
This is a normal BMW sedan with a normal 3.5-liter BMW internal combustion engine, painted a normal BMW blue. What's not normal is what's in the fuel tank.
So this car is running entirely on hydrogen?
With liquid hydrogen, and it runs with gasoline. We can switch between gasoline and hydrogen with this switch, as you can see here.
That little push button on the dashboard allows you to choose your fuel. Fill up with gasoline, and it's like any other car. Pumping fumes out the tailpipe, pollution into the atmosphere, bad news. Fill up with liquid hydrogen, though, and it's a very different story.
I think we stop here because it's relatively quiet. Okay,
Okay. And where you see that different story is when you get out of the car and take a look at the tailpipe.
We have no emissions because hydrogen reacts with the oxygen of the air only to water.
So you mean I can put my face down in front of this and breathe in and I won't cough?
Okay. It's impossible to get toxic nitrogens. We can see my glasses, you see the vapor. And it condenses on the surface of my glasses.
Yeah, and you have them about 2 inches away from the tailpipe. And all I can smell is steam.
Yes, it's like when you are cooking water. That's the same smell. We can compare it, yes.
Like breathing in front of a kettle.
Yes.
Like sticking your nose over a kettle. Run this car on hydrogen, and virtually the only emission is water vapor. So this is great. We got the car. It runs on hydrogen. Let's all dash down to our local BMW dealer and buy it and save the world, global warming, and California. No problem, right? Not quite. These two BMW engineers say bringing this car to market is a little more complicated than that. Klaus Peer and Rudolf Probst.
Bringing to the market means selling it, and there are some disadvantages compared to the usual car. And one very important problem is the problem of the infrastructure. Mm. We can't sell a car if there's no refueling station.
Or the question of chicken and the egg.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Who's the first?
The chicken or the egg. Who's going to buy a hydrogen-powered car when there's no hydrogen filling stations to gas up in? And who's going to build hydrogen filling stations when there's no hydrogen cars on the road? And supposing you do build a hydrogen filling station on every corner, where does the hydrogen come from in the first place? Most industrial production uses methane, but that produces greenhouse gases. And methane is a fossil fuel that'll run out someday too, just like gasoline. Can we get hydrogen from a renewable source? Here in Germany, they're working on that too. But to see it, we have to drive all the way back to Stuttgart. Tell you what, I'll drive, you stay here and listen to Brancaccio.
Hold on, you're listening to a Marketplace special for Earth Day, Hydrogen Beyond the Boom, on PRI, Public Radio International.
Every day, Marketplace contains stories and news items you need to know. Sometimes you'd like to share them with office colleagues, friends, and business associates. Now you can order audio cassette copies of Marketplace. Just call 800-733-2229 with the date of the program you want. That's 800-733-2229.
You're listening to a Marketplace special for Earth Day called Hydrogen Beyond the Boom. I'm David Brancaccio. Are there alternatives to the internal combustion car engine? Workable alternatives? Hydrogen might be one. Let's rejoin correspondent Chris Brooks, who's now reached his destination in Germany.
Welcome back. During the break, we got to this lab here in Stuttgart, and we explained a lot of important scientific stuff, but you weren't here. That's okay. It was kind of boring anyway. So I'll cut to the chase. This gadget here. No, it's not Lawrence Welk's bubble machine, and it's not going to play polka music. It's called an electrolyzer, and it looks like an oil drum, only plastic. The wires on the end here hook up to electricity from a bank of solar cells outside. This electricity from the sun is splitting the water into oxygen and hydrogen, making these bubbles, which are collected and stored in big tanks outside. Clean hydrogen from a renewable source. You could pump these bubbles into that BMW internal combustion engine. But there's still a very tiny amount of trace emissions from that engine. So there's even a better way. Reverse this process. Pump hydrogen and oxygen into this plastic barrel. That'll be called a fuel cell, and it will generate electricity. And could such a fuel cell power a high-efficiency electric motor in an automobile? Step right this way, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Mercedes-Benz test track in Stuttgart, the automaker's own private speedway, with a lot of lean, mean, sleek-looking test cars ripping around the fast turns and straightaways. oodles of high-speed automotive sex appeal. Except for one bashful, slightly pudgy engineer in a lab coat standing proud beside what looks like an ordinary Mercedes delivery van. It runs on a hydrogen fuel cell.
Okay, my name is Thomas Kleiber, and I'm here in the research department of Daimler-Benz, responsible for this project.
What was that beep?
First, the sensors for hydrogen have to warm up, and in this time we can hear the beep. But now I can start the engine. Turning the key. Now the system is started. You hear the compressor of the engine. The compressor which is delivering air to the fuel cell.
But okay. I don't hear the fuel cell itself. That
no,
makes no noise.
There's no noise in the fuel cell. The noise is coming from the air compressor. Now I'm starting the electro engine. I have to close the switches. Put in a gear and can start.
There's no internal combustion engine under the hood of this van. Instead, there's an electric motor. In the back, a big tank of hydrogen gas connected to a box not much bigger than a couple of cases of beer with wires sticking out. That's the fuel cell.
I'm accelerating.
This thing doesn't exactly lay rubber. Yeah, so what do you want? It's a van. In the driver's seat, mild-mannered Dr. Kleiber works a normal clutch, gear shift, gas pedal, hydrogen pedal. The hydrogen pumps out of the tank into the fuel cell. Air pumps in as well, and inside the cell, the hydrogen and oxygen combine to produce steam and electricity. Keep feeding it hydrogen, the fuel cell keeps generating DC electric current, kind of like a refillable battery, that powers the electric motor that drives us down this Mercedes test track.
Now we're driving with 50 kilometers per hour.
About 35 miles an hour. Everything else on the track is leaving us in their dust.
You know, a lot of the cars that are passing us here on the test track are very fast, very powerful, very sleek-looking cars, very glamorous cars with some sex appeal. Do you feel that you're driving a vehicle that doesn't have any of that, or does it have a different kind of sex appeal for you?
I have an alternative powered car, and I think it's more than a normal car with internal combustion engine.
So this is glamorous to you?
It's more important for me. It's a good feeling.
It is a good feeling, driving around a test track in a completely zero-emission electric vehicle running on a hydrogen-powered fuel cell. This could be the car of the future.
We are accelerating with maximum power.
I'm not exactly pressed back into my seat here by the acceleration.
Sorry?
I'm not sort of forced back into my seat by the acceleration.
The car is very heavy. We have 3 tons to accelerate with 30 kilowatts. It's very smooth.
This is the slowest car on this test track, but it's probably the most revolutionary one.
I think so.
Of course, it's heavy. The whole cargo space is taken up with that hydrogen gas tank. And Dr. Kleiber thinks, realistically, it'll be at least 10 years before everything is made small and light enough to go on the market. That leaves one other teensy little problem. You notice he said driving this dumpy little state-of-the-art van is a good feeling. Not a glamorous feeling, a good feeling. And that's the problem. They don't write songs like this because a car is a good feeling. And by and large, car makers don't sell us cars because they're good for us or good for the environment. Like they say on Madison Avenue, it's not the steak that sells, it's the sizzle.
Well, I collect red, size 118 cars.
Here's a guy whose business is sizzle. He's got a collection of 29 miniature red race cars lined up on his desk. He's got a tan, he's got all his hair, and he's got a very expensive, very sleek, and very powerful sports car that he's planning to drive through the Italian Alps tomorrow. He's Johann Plecking, Vice President of Marketing for Mercedes-Benz.
The sizzle we need because people buy cars more emotional than rational. To their friends, they argue normally very rational, but deep in the heart, they bought the car emotional. And therefore, you have to have and to create emotion around the car. And in the United States, we have a very good agency. And I have an ad here from them.
He pulls out a full-color Mercedes magazine ad. It doesn't look like dumpy Dr. Kleiber and his pokey little fuel cell van.
There is...
I see a red convertible.
This is a red convertible, yes. This picture. You see a desert to the front. There is a red car coming, driving to the camera. A man or a woman is sitting in, and the car is open. It's a convertible, SL convertible. It's early morning. There is a little bit dust in the air. And it's a great feeling of freedom. It's a wonderful emotional shot. The sun is rising.
This is the dream of the car in America.
Yes.
In the future, we all have to conform to necessity, accept limits. You're going to have to be saying, well, you can't drive very fast. You can't go very far. The car will be quite small. Perhaps it won't be as attractive, but you really should buy it because it's better for you. Is that a sizzle you can sell that the society will buy right now?
I don't think so. I think we have new desires in the future, and but it is different. It is not a car to drive fast, or it's not a car to dream the dream of the blonde girl in the open SL. It's another dream. But dreams are there, and we will fulfill dreams. But this is a hard task to do. You are right. It's not easy.
It's not easy. Changing over to clean, emission-free, hydrogen-powered cars may mean more than sorting out a few technical details, as Dr. Kleiber believes. More than having enough hydrogen filling stations, as the BMW folks believe. It may just mean you and me and all of us becoming less interested in consuming and more interested in conserving. Dreaming a different dream. In the theater in Stuttgart, the chorus is chanting another warning to Faust. And we know how the story goes. He's so in love with cheap and easy power, he'll ignore the warnings. Of course, this is just a myth, just a play. But if Faust were alive in our modern world and had to make his choice today, I figure I know where he'd be. He wouldn't be sitting in Dr. Kleiber's hydrogen fuel cell van. He'd be in that red Mercedes SL convertible, driving across the desert with the top down and his foot to the floor, heading for Los Angeles. He'd be doomed, of course. Too bad.
Our Earth Day special, Hydrogen Beyond the Boom, was produced by Chris Brooks and Alan Weissman for Homelands Productions. Sandy Tolan runs that operation. This special was made possible with funds from the Ford Foundation, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. If you want a tape of this program, call 1-800-381-2717. That's 1-800-381-2717. And we're very interested in your thoughts on this special and hydrogen power. Contact us at Marketplace online at market@usc.edu.